your eyes to the skies. It's time for Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.
Hello, David.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Are we loud and clear?
Yes, I can hear you well.
What about Big Hungry? Can you hear Big Hungry okay?
I can hear you very well, actually.
Fantastic. A little bit too well. I'm just back it off a bit. It's all right. Understood. Understood. Okay, cool.
Now, David, what is the first topic that we've got this afternoon?
We're going to talk about cosmic glue.
What is, I love the word cosmic, and
what is cosmic glue?
Cosmic glue. It's otherwise known as dark matter. People look at galaxies, they behave differently to what they should compared with what we can see. When you look at a galaxy, you can see, you know, billions of stars and dark gas lanes and dark dust and that sort of thing. But about 80% of the mass that should be there, we can't see. And so about 80% of the universe as we know it, we don't know what it is, basically. If we can find out what that is, what this dark matter is, it'd be pretty helpful for understanding the universe, really. It's called dark matter because it doesn't interact with normal stuff, with light, so it's not like made of atoms and so on. And it's very complex trying to figure it out. There's lots of different theories about what it could be. What's happened is in New Zealand there's a fund called the Marsden Fund, which gives money for research projects in different areas of science. And the head of physics at the university, Dr. Richard Easter, he's with colleagues been awarded $910,000 to do a research on dark matter by making very sophisticated computer programs, using supercomputers to try and figure this out.
So you're saying dark matter does matter?
It definitely does matter.
Okay, cool.
Yes, dark energy is the other one, but that's a different story.
So it's more than just the emptiness of space. There is something occupying this emptiness.
Jesus, John, don't make it sound so cold.
That's dark energy. That's on a larger scale. Dark matter is associated with matter. When you look at a galaxy, say a spiral galaxy, it's shaped like a pancake with like a sombrero sort of shape. But it behaves as if it's got material in a whole ball around it, but you can't see that ball of material because it doesn't interact with light, it doesn't interact with atoms, but it's there, and there's various ways of showing that it is there, but no one can figure out what it is.
Do you think the computers are going to have a good shot at being able to figure this out for us?
If it doesn't, it'll certainly eliminate one of the options. What they're looking at is something called ultralight dark matter, which behaves a bit like a fluid, which has got gravity, but it also has pressure. And that makes it very complicated to try and simulate. So what they're basically doing is using supercomputer programming to, a bit like the atmosphere for the weather forecast, where it takes a huge computer to do that sort of math, except this is on a cosmic scale.
I try to live my life on a cosmic scale.
I would love to see the supercomputer as well, actually. Now,
probably really tiny. It's probably just an iPhone 28.
The next news you've got for us is apparently an astronaut has come back to Earth with some fake news.
No, he stayed up there. This is a Japanese astronaut. He got up there, and when you're floating around in the space station or anywhere in any spacecraft, because gravity is not pushing down on your body and especially your back, the space between your vertebrae increases.
And you get taller.
Most astronauts, means that their height while they're in space increases somewhere between 2 and 5 centimeters.
Oh, you might get a hunchback as well kind of scenario going on, wouldn't you?
Well, no, it'll straighten you out, really, because, you know, there's no pressure pushing down. But this astronaut, Noshige Kanai, he reported that he'd grown 9 centimetres after being there a little while. So that sort of hit the headlines. Unfortunately, within a day or so, he reported that he'd made a mistake.
So he's measuring himself floating around out in space, correct?
What a space idiot.
In space, what a space cake.
I reckon give him a bit of slack, actually. If I was floating around in space, I probably wouldn't necessarily always get the most accurate measurement.
I don't know, John. He gets paid pretty well, mate. He's going to afford a little bit of slack, I think.
Yeah, he didn't explain how he made the mistake, so we don't know how that happened. The problem is, for me, he used the term that he called it fake news, and I think it's unfortunate he called it that. He just sort of said, I made a mistake.
Yeah, that sounds a bit...
Yeah.
Okay. Now, Virgin Galactic is going to resume flight testing.
Yeah, Virgin Galactic, that's Richard Branson's company in the Mojave Desert, where they want to take tourists up to 100 kilometres. We can float around for a few minutes, then come back down again. Back in 2014, a test spacecraft killed a pilot and injured a co-pilot, and so they've sort of been trying to get back on their feet. They had a flight back in August, which was unpowered, and they've now had a second one in January, a glide flight.
Mm. So it takes a long time to kind of sift up there.
Powered. I mean, people have paid hundreds of thousands of dollars for tickets to go up there and thought they'd be up there already, but because of that tragic accident, it's all been put back a few years. But looks like they're back on track again now, which is pretty good.
John's pointing at a picture.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture that I found on the internet.
Looks so like there's two planes joined together and one little plane in between.
With a space shuttle in the middle? Is this the thing?
The craft that you go in is the one in the middle.
Yes.
And the one that takes you up is the... one that's like a mother craft, and it's got two fuselages.
We're looking at the same
thing. So what they do is that plane, that jet, takes you up to about 40,000 feet or somewhere around there.
The heavy lifter.
And then it lets the spacecraft go.
Yes.
And then that turns its rocket on, so the rocket itself launches from 40,000 feet. So it doesn't have to use all that fuel getting up to 40,000 feet.
Yeah. Would you feel like intense G-force in the space shuttle?
Sorry, do you feel what?
Intense, like, G-forces.
No, I think, in the space shuttle, I think they do it quite, they take you up quite slowly, John.
It's not you would feel some G-forces if you're on this one here, this is the VSS Unity. Mm-hmm. You would feel some G-forces. So, I mean, if you've got a really bad heart condition, they won't let you go on there.
What about if you've got heaps and heaps and heaps of money, though?
as long as you keep your insurance policy.
What if I'm a bit of a Scrooge McDuck and I like to dive into cash?
I'm sure they'd take your money.
Now, so people, they're obviously strapped in. This thing flies into space, and then everyone gets out of their seat and floats around for a bit, has a bit of a laugh.
Yeah.
And then jumps back in, and then it glides down to Earth.
And it comes back down to where they left from. So you're not going around the world, you're just going up. But if you get above 100 kilometres, called the Kalman Line, then you can call yourself an astronaut because you've got to the edge, beyond the edge of space. So
right on.
The idea is to get above 100 Ks, come back down and get a big certificate.
Is it, quite a hard out landing in this thing? Because it must be going pretty fast when it comes back to Earth.
No, it lands like a jet. What it has is a bit like a shuttlecock when you're playing badminton. Mm. If you hit that really hard and it goes up, but then it comes down slowly because of the shape of the feathering and so on in the shuttlecock. Well, this spacecraft has wing rudder sort of attachments that do a similar thing. It slows the spacecraft down in a similar way that a shuttlecock slows down. So, in fact, when it comes back down, it just glides to a stop on the runway.
Okay.
Yeah.
And Rocket Lab down there in Mahia have announced a new window.
Yeah, you might remember that they tried it a few times to launch before Christmas, and in the end they gave up. So from January the 20th, that's the first day of a 9-day launch window they've announced. So if they do lift off, it'll be somewhere between 2:30 p.m. and 6:30 p.m. They'll live stream it, so hopefully they'll get up into orbit this time.
Nice. Now, what's coming up at Stardome in the coming weeks?
We're pretty busy at Stardome at the moment, actually. We've got the school holiday program running right now, which is Stellar Summer Days. That's every day. The sessions are at 10 o'clock, 1 o'clock and 2 o'clock. The show is We Are Stars. So there's activities, there's demonstrations, there's the show, and outside activities as well. It's an hour and a half. On Thursday, we've got Back to the Future. No, it is tomorrow, Wednesday. Back to the Future two, Part 2. This is part of our science fiction movie series. So that's tomorrow night.
Is that the one where the doc ends up kind of out west for a little bit?
No, it's the one when he goes actually into, he goes to like 2017.
Okay, cool. That is a good one.
The flying car.
Yes, okay, great.
It's number 2, not number 3. Yeah.
Sorry, guys.
$15 for a child.
David, do you have a preference out of the Back to the Future films?
I think I like 2. Not that you're asking me.
Number 1, I think.
Yeah, okay. Good. Good choice.
Right on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm afraid I have
difficulty with the time travel thing, but never mind.
Yeah, it's interesting how movies attack time travel, isn't it? It's a sticky web, that one.
I first watched it when I had the kids, and the kids wanted to see it, so...
And you were just picking it apart, were you?
Well, for about 20 years, I never saw any movies other than kids' movies.
they stopped making Nemo's and there was nothing left.
Yeah.
Hey, and what's this public holiday scenario? What's that about?
The public open day, that's Auckland anniversary weekend.
Nice.
Okay, and on the Sunday, on the 28th of January, I've got an open day. So that's just a $2 donation. It's between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. So that's open to the public to come along, see a show and so on. That's on the 28th. And next time I'll talk a little bit more detail about the end of January, where there's the lunar eclipse.
Yes!
And we're seeing the whole thing in New Zealand, and
fantastic.
We're going to be actually open from 8 p.m. to 3 a.m.
Oh, wow.
That night, yeah. So I'll talk a bit more about that at next time.
Sounds like a deal, mate. Hey, listen, it's always a pleasure, David. Thank you so much for giving some bell and letting us know what's going on in the cosmos.
Well, thanks for listening.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers.
Okay, bye.
Control, we are docked. That was Spaced Out on 95 BFM, thanks to the Stardome Observatory and Planetarium.